Pickaxe.
Hey y'all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
Hello and welcome to 0 Degrees, the podcast with no qualifications where we try and solve your complications. I'm Revs and I'm joined by the lovely Harry and Liz. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, 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 hello. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
We're going to do a sneaky hangover check.
I'm fresh as a bloody daisy.
I'm feeling great. How are you doing, Revs?
This is a Wednesday and I go out on a Tuesday. Okay, that's my day out. And I was out last night and I'm in pain.
What time do you stay out till?
Oh, like only like 11-ish or something, I think. Okay, maybe okay. 12.
I thought I had a certain huskiness to your voice, which is usually after drinking.
Yeah, I had a couple of drinkies and then, you know, we were with the lovely Jack Manifold. He got some wine.
Oh,
and I drank like a pint of wine.
I was literally about to fucking say classy hell. Until you said that, like, and then you ruined
like
it.
It was like a half pint of wine.
That doesn't make it less classy. The word pint shouldn't go along with wine at all.
I know.
A pint of wine. It's just like
I don't feel super bad. Like, you know, I have a like little fuzz to my head, but I'm all right.
A little bit furry. Didn't you go to bed? So you were streaming till 4 a.m. the night before that. And then you went out drinking last night. How are you?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be functioning if I were you today. I would just be slug.
I would be slug.
Yeah. Well, give it a few years, Ravs. Give it a few years.
I'm going to get some Japanese food after this. That will sort me out.
Oh, nice.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that what you go for when you're hungover?
Oh my God, you feel slightly like you're healthy.
Yeah, that's what I love that. Sometimes, you know what I mean? Yeah, I get that when I'm hungover and I'm like, health influencer, skinny queen, legend.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's
nice and salty and stuff as well. It's like banging.
I just want to eat a big fucking burger or something. I just want the most filling.
Don't put thoughts of big, juicy burgers in my head, Ari.
It's got to be like, it can't be anything too light. Because usually, if we've gone out drinking, I've probably barely eaten anything as well. So it's like, I just need to fill up. Do you know what I mean? Not mega filling.
I forgot to eat some din-dins last night, which is probably why I'm a little fuzzy today.
Such a difference. Like, we are so bad at eating dinner before we go out. Like, as a collective group of humans.
It's just effort. I want to get drinking.
I just want to go and just have a drink. The other night I went out and I was at home first. So I actually had some dinner and then came out. And it made such a difference the next day. I didn't feel nearly as shit as I usually do. It was like, oh, wow. Yeah, that does help, doesn't it? Actually lining your stomach. Who would have thunk it?
I know, it's crazy.
It is so nuts. Speaking of going out drinking, though, I want to talk about what happened last time we went out for a drink when we were talking about 0 Degrees.
I don't know. I don't remember this.
Harry, this was... Remember when we were having that not safe for work conversation and then the lovely, lovely fan came up to us?
Oh, fuck.
Yep.
So we were at the pub. We were discussing which has now been released, the podcast we did at the with Shaw at the podcast show with Shaw, and how we had we were very graphically discussing pegging, which is kind of all we seem to ever talk about now.
I feel like it's ruling all of our lives now. I feel like there's this fucking spirit of pegging just haunting my fucking life.
Oh my God. Then that got onto the topic of, the use of the words mummy and daddy in a sexual sense during intercourse. Mm-hmm. And we were just talking very loudly, very proudly. And I believe I said something along the lines of, you know, it makes me feel really gross, the use of those words, like the idea of someone saying, come on daddy's dick. And at that moment, at that very moment, looked up and there was this lovely man standing there and he said, hi, I'm a huge fan of the podcast. And it was like, oh God.
Yeah, and we just cackled. We all three of us just cackled. The last thing Lydia said was that, and it was just like, oh my God.
So based. So fucking based, Lydia.
So to that person, you were lovely. You were so sweet. We weren't laughing at you. We were laughing at what we were saying. The timing was just
what? I don't think they heard you.
No, I don't think they did to them. We just burst out laughing for no reason. I was really worried. I recognized them
from chat as well. They came into my chat and said it was so lovely to meet you guys the other night at the pub. It's AC Mon.
AC Mon, yeah. They were lovely. They were a lovely person.
They were really sweet. Really, really sweet.
Yeah, they were great.
But yeah, that did make me laugh. So.
Oh God, that was like such a scuffed moment, and they bought you guys some drinks as well. It was super lovely.
It was lovely. They were really
lovely
sweet.
Person. So yeah. big shout out to them.
Such a scuffed day because like, but before that, I went to see the movie Sisu, and I can't remember if I told you guys this. I think I did, maybe at the pub, but certainly not on the podcast. I went with Duncan, our friend Paul, to mm-hmm. see a movie Sisu. Very good. But I'd had some halloumi fries earlier in the day.
Oh dear.
God.
Yeah. Oh, so no. I had rumblies in my tumblies before the movie. So I was like, okay, I've relieved myself. I'm going to go to the movie. I'm not going to be too graphic here. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, it's me. Mm-hmm. I'm heading to meet you guys at the pub and I'm like, oh my God, I have to go. So I went to the McDonald's and like somehow this security guard knew that I
you
had
told
to
me
shit
this.
My brains out.
You didn't tell me this. You didn't
you
tell
did
me
tell
this.
Me this.
Okay. Yeah, but the fact this happened on the same day as the fan interaction is crazy.
Okay.
I went into the McDonald's. The man like spiritually knew I needed a shit. There was only a disabled toilet that they were just telling people to go to. So I was like, okay. And he's like, when you need to leave this room, hit the green button. I was like, fine.
What? Hit what green button?
There was like a little like green, it's like a handicap toilet. So there's like a green button lower down as a release for the door.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So he's like, hit this green button when you're done. I'm like, okay. So I do my business. It's horrible. It's like a fucking bombing happened.
It's like a terrorist attack. You created a terrorist attack in a McDonald's.
Exactly. Yeah. Stand up, bend over to wipe. You know, as I do, hand on the wall. I'm a stand wiper.
Hand on your knees.
The disabled toilets are enormous. Did you have to waddle over to find the wall?
The wall that the toilet was against.
Imagining you going for a stroll to the other side to get some purchase.
So you're standing and turning?
Yeah.
Oh.
I always figured it was a stand and like find the wall.
What, you thought I'd stand and what? That would have been at the door.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought you were basically on all fours, essentially, but holding yourself
the fact
up.
The fact you're doing a pooey pirouette makes me feel weird.
I do a pooey pirouette and I can drop the bombs after I've wiped into the toilet bowl. You know,
oh
it's
my
easy.
God.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Why is so much of our podcast about Ravs's anal activities?
I don't, it's
lack
so
of?
Oh, no, dude.
What's good? What's
all
happened?
All we ever talk
but anyway,
about.
Anyway, someone opened the door, but thankfully it was just after I'd finished and pulled up my trousers. But
you weren't doing
had,
your.
If it was like
you would have been spread eagle.
If it was like 10 seconds earlier, they would have seen me spread eagle
wiping your eyes.
And I thought my man's at the door was looking after the door because, and he also said push the green button to release. I was like, okay, like no way anyone's getting in here. The dude just fucking let a girl in.
Oh, and then that's when she turns around and says, hi, I'm a huge fan of the Yorkers cast.
That's a goober.
That's a goober. Right
and
there.
You're wiping your ass, spread eagled.
But yeah, thankfully, that wasn't a disaster, but it was just like a nightmare. And
oh
that's when
God.
I came and met you guys.
What, did she,
oh my
did,
God.
Did, wait, so she opened the door. Did you say something? Like how open?
I was like, oh, sorry. I was like, quickly moved to wash my hands. Like, I'll be there. It's just a disaster of a day, really, isn't it?
Can you imagine if something like that happened, though, and they were actually a Yorkshire Terrier fan and they walked in on you wiping your ass? Like, how do you get through
oh
that?
Oh my God.
How do you move on with your life?
I think they have to subscribe. I think that's how it works. I think they have to subscribe.
You owe me money now.
A Reddit post. I saw Ravs's pooey anus. Oh. Like, AMA.
AMA. Ask me anything.
I don't know what to say to that. I don't know words. I haven't got many words for this.
Like, I don't even know. I think I would just cease to be. Like, I would just be like, ah, and like disappear.
The thing is, mostly Yogscast fans are absolutely lovely and amazing. So I feel like they would just be, they'd let it slide. They wouldn't make the Reddit post. You know what I mean? I think they'd be, pretty chill about it.
God,
you'd hope so.
But this is why, Rav, standing up and displaying yourself like a fucking shitty peacock is such a scary maneuver. If you were sitting down and such wiping, you wouldn't have this. Yeah. You'd all be, contained within the toilet bowl.
Imagine if you didn't do your pooey pirouette. At least then you'd be facing, maybe cock it out towards the door. But this way, you're literally displaying. It's like you're asking someone to walk in and stare up your ass.
It is a display of power.
It is like a weird, risk.
I just like the more surface area covered by my pooey pirouette.
Oh, my. But I just feel like you're opening yourself up to so much risk. Evidence here.
Well, usually I'm doing it in the comfort of my own home, but this was a poo emergency.
I feel like did you check the door when you shut it? Did you check that it was locked?
I did. I checked. Oh. And the dude just opened it from the other side.
Oh, that's terrible. I was once in a Starbucks just peeing, just to clarify here, and the woman that worked at the Starbucks just opened the door with the key and walked in, and it was like, excuse me.
Wait, what?
So it was locked, I'd locked it, and she used her key to just open the door and come in whilst I was peeing.
Did she say anything?
Yeah, she was like, oh, sorry, I didn't realise anyone was in here, and I was like,
what the fuck, with a bit of it being locked?
It was like, what just happened? I thought I was safe. When you lock a door, you're safe.
This feels like something that there's like a Finnish or like Japanese word for that there's no translation for, but like the anxiety you get when you're sitting on the toilet and you feel someone like nudge the cubicle you're in the door, or like you hear a lock, like in that situation there, you hear the lock being tampered with. You're just like, oh my god.
The anxiety of, no, don't come in, but I can't stand up.
I have the Uber Schitzenfreud.
No,
they're coming in for my poopy. The Uber Schitzenfreud.
Oh my god.
It makes me so nervous when I go defecate.
I feel like if you lock a door, you're at least safe. Like,
right?
There shouldn't be the Uber Schitzenfreud because, you're safe.
Also, what's the problem with America with a little gappy in there?
I struggle to poo in public in America. It's a crazy get up.
Why is there a gap that people can see in?
But it's not only that, but the wall is low, and we're all tall. We can all see over.
When Harry sits down, his head is above the thing. He's looking out at people.
I'm surveying. Oh,
God. Just head surveying above, just looking at everyone.
Oh, my God. Imagine they just made the door shorter at the top so you could just, while sitting down, you just saw.
But also, they have gaps, right? Between the hinges and the door, there was a gap. Like, a lot of the American toilets I've been in are just not, they're not safe places.
Maybe they're trying to discourage people from pooping in public. Insane. They're like, go do this
Uber
at home.
Uber Schitzenfreud.
They do not have the Uber Schitzenfreud in America.
I saw this post and it was very relatable. And it's like, I'm now the age of whatever. And I still don't know what to say when someone knocks on the door of the toilet or comes to come in. Like, what do you say? Occupado!
I have Uber Schitzenfreud. Please leave.
What do you say? Hello? What is the response?
I guess just occupied.
Occupied. I don't know what to say. God. I think
my Britishness would just be like, sorry, mate.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Also, they should be the one who's apologising. Why are you knocking on a locked door? Unless someone's been in there for an extortionate amount of time, we're talking half an hour, so long. There's no reason to be knocking on fucking locked doors.
No, it's true. Although sometimes they're just trying the door, right? Because you can't tell if it's locked or not. So you're just giving it a little nudge.
I don't live that type of lifestyle. If it looks locked, I ain't trying. If it looks
really,
locked,
even
I'm
if you're desperate
it.
For a wee, you wouldn't. I guess it's different because you've
as a man, Lydia, let me explain to you the bountiful wonders of the world being your toilet.
You can pee. The world is your toilet. I would try it. So there's a toilet at a pub that we frequent and it doesn't look properly. And I've now developed a technique because every time someone comes in, I either start coughing so they know someone's in there, or I start frantically getting loo roll, which makes a really loud noise.
Just laying fucking landmines. Sorry. Really fucking, really shitting my guts over here. Sorry.
God, I do hate that when it doesn't lock properly. Yeah. You just have to like sit there
with your hand outstretched or your legs or something.
Your arm like sort of just push forward.
Just having like the most uncomfortable shit in your life as you're stretching.
That is a moment of Uber Schitzenfreud. Yeah. That is a true moment of Uber Schitzenfreud. You're just like, fuck.
You're trying to make enough ambient noise so someone knows that you're in there, but without, like, so it's like clearing your throat and like moving the tissue paper thing around and coughing.
There should be a go-to thing, like a YouTube video or song that you can play that identifies as just like, this is the, you know, everyone in society agrees this is what you play on your phone when you're in an occupied toilet. That's it. We just solved the problem. Done.
It's the poo song.
It's the poo song.
Right. You could be onto a big moneymaker, Harry, because if that blows up and you become the next Gangnam Style and you get billions and billions of views on YouTube, you can be really rich.
Just something. I think it would just be something like this. Just like an alert sound plays, and then my voice going, "I'm pooing. There is a person pooing in here. I'm pooing." Like that. And
see, I feel
that,
like
done.
A lot
that
of...
That removes all awkwardness.
No, I don't. I think that creates a lot of awkwardness. I think a lot of women might not want to play that whilst they're on the toilet.
There's a man in here pooing. I'm pooing.
Harry, my name is Harry.
That would happen in nightclubs, though, and the bouncers would be like, is he pooing or is he doing coke?
Oh. You know what I mean? Like,
I'm not doing drugs. I'm pooing.
I'm pooing. Sniff.
This sniff is added to the pre-recorded song, so you can't tell if we are doing drugs.
Oh my God. What is
with like our Britishness, though, where we feel like we have to say sorry when someone else has done something?
I hate that.
Why do we have like this urge to apologize even when it's someone else's fault?
Like someone will bash into me on the street and I'll be like, sorry.
Yeah, no,
like,
sorry, mate.
Sorry.
Yeah, same.
Like, what's wrong? Why can't we be like, I don't know. Why do we have the instinct? You can't. Yeah. Why do we have the instinct to apologise for everything?
Because we don't want confrontation. British people don't like confrontation. We don't want arguments. We don't want to just deal with any of that. We just want to end it
and
leave.
So
just saying sorry means you can just leave and there's no awkwardness. You just get to fucking dip.
Yeah.
All right. Well, from now on, I'm going to start calling people a cunt.
Can.
Even if it's
can.
My fault. Even if it's my fault.
I've got Uber Schitzenfreud.
You can't.
Are we going to have to call this episode Uber Schitzenfreud?
Yeah, good luck to Sam trying to figure out how to spell that.
Oh, I know. It's S-C-H-I-T-Z-E-N. Then I don't know the Freud part.
Freud. F-R-E-U-D,
is that it?
The Uber Schitzenfreud episode. It's my favourite one of 0 Degrees.
Yes. It is a good one.
Should we do a fucking question?
Yeah, on that note, let's do a question.
Yeah, it's question time.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
Hi, 0 Degrees gang. Since moving to uni, I've gained many experiences with definitely totally legal substances. As my housemates all partake. However, I do not, and I often feel left out. They don't peer pressure me and I'm not interested, but they all seem to have a good time and sometimes it makes me feel bad that I'm not joining in. I do the same with booze as I have a tolerance of an ox, but don't want to spend tons of cash to get as buzzed as my mates can off one drink. Any advice? Have any of you ever felt this way or been on the other end of it, watching a friend not get involved? Love the podcast. Keep up the good work. What do you guys think? Have you guys had this experience?
Is this the fucking feds? Are they sent a question
in? Have you ever partaken in AA?
Are they trying to get us to admit about our legal substances we take? What the fuck is this question?
Now, fingers crossed, does anyone want a political career in the future?
I think I'm okay.
I think this podcast alone so far is enough for me to not have a political career.
The first 15 minutes of just this episode has certainly ruined Ravs' chances.
Yeah, he's not getting him.
I can already hear Trump owning me like while I'm... As if I'm like a little poopy Ravs.
And he does the poo-poo-it. He does it. He spins.
He does a poo-poo-it. He spins with his hands. He does a little gesture.
He
spins.
And he wipes. He wipes so long. The longest wiper.
The longest wipes.
Fucking hell. Oh, my God. All right.
We have to move past this moment.
Yeah, we have to move past this moment. Okay, so they live in a house with their housemates. The housemates do certain substances. They do not partake. They feel left out. Same with booze. Right. Do you guys have any experience with this? I'm going to defer to start with.
I
too shall defer to Harry.
I feel like I can quite happily say that trying a little bit of everything once, I found was an okay way to go. But I found that I mostly don't like the illegal drugs. So I feel like I feel like I empathize a lot with them. Like, it does suck when all your mates, growing up, all my mates would be doing God knows what. And trying to keep up or like get as buzzed when you're drinking is fucking impossible. Like, it is, it kind of sucks. You do feel like you're left out and it makes you want to like, you know, do the drugs. So yeah, it is shit. I feel like I certainly did just cope by getting really fucked up, which is also kind of fun. But
this person says they don't do it with booze though, because they have a super high tolerance.
Yeah, I would say don't. That this doesn't sound like a great reason to do drugs. I'm going to go ahead and say I don't feel like we can advocate to do drugs.
I don't think we're allowed.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think the yogs will cut us off.
I don't feel like we've really talked about drugs on this podcast. It's not really a big thing in any of our lives. Apart from booze, which is a drug.
Booze is a drug.
Illegal drugs we haven't talked about.
Yeah, illicit drugs.
Illicit drugs we haven't spoken about. I think we can, to be honest. I don't think we're allowed to.
I think it's just really important to do it safely. Do it with friends that you trust if you're going to do it, right? Yeah. If you're going to do drugs, you got to do it super fucking securely and don't be stupid. I feel like a lot of kids are really dumb with it and run a load of risk.
Mm-hmm. What's it like for them? Like, I guess just, you know what you like, stick to the way you're doing it right now, really. Like, if it's going to cost you a shit ton to get drunk, like, that's just kind of shit, isn't it? Unless you're out with some like big drinkers and you fancy a drink, go for it. But like, you know what I mean? If your mates are just like buzzed off of one drink and you don't want to spend like 30 quid getting wankered, just don't do it.
Is it also just like this weird passing moment and passing age? Do you know what I mean? Where like they're at uni. You're just getting mega fucked up for like your first 2 years. That's just how it is. It's what most people go and do, right? So is this just not like a thing that will pass and then just, I kind of feel like buckle in and make do. And it will be fine in the long run. Like they're not going to be complete wreckheds forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Hopefully they're not just like, you know, forever stuck doing that. Because I had that. In Scotland, I had a bunch of mates that just loved getting fucked up. And I was like, I need to get away from this.
Yeah.
Like, I hate this. It's fucking shit.
I definitely had the exact same situation this person's describing when I was in my sort of early 20s, where I didn't want to do drugs. And the person that I was with and his group of friends all did a lot of drugs. And every time we went out, I would just get really drunk and they would all get really fucked up. And I definitely felt that kind of, that thing where you're like, am I missing out on something here? I'm not getting the in joke. Like, and again, a little feeling of like, I'm not cool because they're all doing it, which sounds dumb, but it was like putting that sort of own peer pressure on myself. They never put that on me. So I definitely do like sympathize with that feeling. But again, like Ravs and Harry just said, I do feel like that happens at a certain age. And as you get older, that type of behavior and those type of friends, that whole scene does fizzle out. Like, it's not a forever thing. And if it is a forever thing, then I would get new friends because you know, you're getting fucked up for the rest of your life.
That's a really crucial bit. If that's
everything in moderation, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if they're doing it like every day, like fuck that shit, man. Like I would find a different group of friends, honestly. Like, yeah, just that's just too much.
I would stay sick, stick with it. I also think weirdly, a lot of the time that I feel like I went out with my mates that were getting completely fucking brain dead. I kind of felt responsibility, do you know what I mean, to be there and not be too fucked and almost like the designated driver of like the one person whose brain is not mush.
Yeah.
Just to keep an eye on them. But I mean, equally, you know, they're then going to like 7 a.m. and I'm just like, I gotta stay awake.
Yeah, I'm fucking knackered.
But there is, I mean, there is that ownership of if you are really good friends, then do try and take care of them as well if they're being silly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, totally. I feel like if it's moving to uni and you do feel left out, is there a way of trying to make some mates who aren't just into getting fucked up? Like if they're like societies or stuff you could get involved with, meet some new people maybe. I know that sounds like maybe just like easier said than done, but there will be people that aren't just into doing loads of drugs and shit that, yeah. You know.
I guess these people are at uni though, and this is like their time where they're trying stuff and stuff, you know, like like Harry said, you know, try everything once. I've tried a bunch of stuff. I know what I liked and didn't like, and I just like drinking now. It's just my jam.
Yeah, but this wasn't just because they don't want to. Yeah. They just don't want to do it. They feel bad that they're not joining in. So I was thinking maybe it might be worth branching out to try and find some other people that also just aren't into it. Because if these friends are really into it, they're probably not going to stop anytime soon.
It will probably. I'm just thinking of like friendship groups that I've known at uni. They've gone to uni and I just feel like that shit just lasts the entire time that they're at uni. Maybe if they care for their final year, they will chill out. But otherwise, I feel like that's going to be the duration.
If you do, if you just don't want to try it, don't. If you do, that's up to you. But like, you know, I don't know. Which is a weird one, isn't it? Drugs.
I would say try and...
Do you not? Probably not.
Drink winners don't do drugs. I would say just try and see if you can meet some other people, different societies, different clubs. When I was at university, I went to the Japanese anime club and I did stuff like that and I met new people that had the same interests in me.
See, the Japanese anime club, you were going to go there and do meth.
I went there and I did heroin, meth, and poppers. So that was interesting. But like there are different, you know, there will be nice people that you can meet who aren't just into doing drugs, basically. And it sounds like that's kind of that's what you need for your uni experience, not just to be surrounded by people doing drugs all the time. Not saying you shouldn't be friends with your uni mate, your housemates, just, you know, yes, obviously if they're doing that a lot and that's not what you're into, then that kind of sucks.
I think it's really important as they're also your housemates that you need to like rationalize it in a way that you won't become frustrated and
exactly
and like, you know, just have disdain for them around this subject matter. So you need to like, you got to figure it out in terms of like finding some new friends that you can help power out with a bit and hang out with your old friends. And it's a classic thing, like maybe saying something to them, but also just having those kind of open conversations, even at like 19, 18 is weird. Being like, hey guys, can we do a night where you don't all do fucking drugs and we go get pissed instead? Like, or whatever. Like,
exactly. Yeah. Just be upfront about it, right?
Yeah.
Also, where the fuck are they getting all their money from? If they're getting fucked up all the time, drugs are expensive.
Yeah, true.
Usually, in my experience of uni kids, it's not eating.
The
first thing that gets chopped off.
That's what your loan just goes
on. 11p noodles as the smart price. I guess like on the other end of it, you know, back when I like tried some stuff when I was younger, like it was nice actually having a friend there who wasn't doing shit. So I was like, I will be safe. This is safe to do.
They will keep me safe.
Yeah, I think it is important to have that, you know, designated, not brain mushed person.
Yeah, absolutely. In case any weird drug shit starts happening.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, good luck. I hope it goes well.
And if you are struggling with drugs, do reach out and get some help, please.
True. Very true.
I mean, yes, that's true. Sorry.
Top to Frank.
You're just laughing.
Long. No, it's just right. Lol, losers. Can't handle their drugs. Nerds.
No.
We're just laughing because Rabs is an idiot. All right. Okay. All right. Next question. Hi, Hello, I'm a contractor at a massive laboratory. Laboratory.
Lavatory.
Lavatory.
Just this entire podcast is just poop now.
Massive
it's just
toilet.
All about poop.
All entrances require key cards to open the door. What is the protocol for holding the door for the person behind me? Should they have to unlock the door themselves? That would require me slowly closing the door on their face. Alternatively, if I hold open the door for them, what if I let a thief into the building? Thanks for all the laughs. You guys are always a delight to listen to. So I've often thought about this because we also work in an office which has, you know, you need a key card to get into. And what are you meant to do if someone is very close behind you and you've opened the door to let yourself in? Are you going to what, like slowly slam it in their face just in case they're a complete stranger? But, or are you just going to let them in, but they could be a complete stranger?
So I encounter this problem maybe like once a month. Like, I feel like there's, I certainly look up and down. Like, firstly, I recognize a lot of people who work in our building who aren't our company now from being here for so long. So yeah. I know who's kind of safe to let the door open. But I am conscious of it. Like, Lydia, I'm like you. I am always thinking about, should I keep the door open for this person? Are they? But it's certainly like, is it a young, like 20-year-old man? If so, I'm like, this doesn't add up. This could be a young not trying to get in.
Right.
And then as soon as like they walk, like, because very few people in our building go get the lift upside of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, like, I just feel like at any moment, I'm like vaguely sus. I'm like, oh, who are you here to see? And just that instantly, like quells it. Because most people will have that answer like off the top of their dome instantly. Oh, I'm here to go see someone at this company or whatever. But most people, I think, you know, you can't answer that if they're just trying to sneak in or whatever. And if they say Lewis, I'm just like, oh, okay, who are you then?
Who are you?
Yeah. Like, for me, it's like, our office, you know, we have the double this with double locks, right?
Yeah,
like,
so there's
a downstairs, but you still don't, like, if you're going up to the office, you better know the code or
it's very better, let me just say, it's very hard to get into our office.
It's very hard.
This is not a challenge, and you should not try.
And you should never try.
But to me, it's just like, if I see someone like walking with intent and I've opened the door, like, I'll hold like for a minute just to let them in, but like, I would never do it upstairs. You know what I mean? Like,
no.
Never. I'd be like, you fucking get in on your own. I'm not slamming the door on anyone, but like.
It is interesting. You're walking with a tent is interesting though, right? Like, that does change it. Suddenly you're just like, oh yeah. If someone walks really with authority and intent, you're like, oh, of course I should help them through the door.
Yeah. Like, this person clearly works in this building also. So like, cool. Or he's like a postman. I'm like, cool.
At this point, we're just giving tips on how to break into buildings now. Just make sure you walk with intent and purpose.
Where the hive is, bring a parcel.
But with the upstairs thing, with the letting people into the actual office, I have the problem that every time I go into the office, there's new people working there that I don't know because, you know, we have fourth floor.
So is
it not really rude if I'm just kind of like, I'm shutting the door on you because I don't know who you are. Like, I don't know who fucking 90% of the people are.
Trick there is delay you going into the door, look at your phone or something, let them do the code. Because then if they're like, oh, who are you? You get to massively ego check them.
Massively. I own the Yogscast.
Sorry, I'm Mrs. Yogscast.
Do you have any fucking idea who I am?
Points at picture wall. That's me.
Well, once.
Follow me. And you just point at them.
A few months ago, I didn't have my fob and I did the buzzer thing and someone said, who's it? I said, it's Lydia. And they went, okay. And they buzzed me in. And then I went upstairs and they just kind of opened the door for me and they looked really confused. And I was like, hi, and walked through. And then I heard them run up to someone and say, I don't know who that is. And then Sarah ran around the corner and she was like, oh, it's Lydia. It's fine. So this person had just let me in. But because I'd been so like you said, so just like, hello, it's Lydia. I'm here for this kind of thing. They just let me in. I don't think they work there anymore, actually. And then they were, and then they just like,
wow,
I have no
you
idea
got
who this
them fired? Is that what you're implying?
Are you implying you got them
fucking fired?
No, I did not.
Like I said, don't ego check Lydia. Mrs. Yogscast will fucking come down on you like a ton of bricks.
No, they were only there for a few months. They had like a work placement.
You insured that.
I made sure they were gone. But it made me laugh because that's the kind of shit I would do. I would just kind of be like, oh, yeah, come in. And then be like, I don't know who that is.
It's so weird having, like, you know, just like another company in the building where I just don't know, like, half of the employees. Like, I know quite a few of them, and I know a few of them enough to be like, ah, hiya, or head nod them.
The nod.
Even though I don't remember what your name is, but nod.
Nod? You know what I mean? Hi. Like,
okay, I quite like it. See, I guess I do know more of them than you two. But I equally, I quite like it because it feels like there's just always like a busyness, right, in the office of just like NPCs. You know, it's like when you walk into like a town in Skyrim and you have like the main characters. This is fucked up. But you have like, we're like the main characters who have like quest lines.
Harry,
I have this exact same thought.
Oh my God, you two have such main character syndrome energy. Jesus.
I genuinely am like, I have quests in this office, but it's nice that you are the NPCs
it's nice
who
that
are
they're
here.
There to fill it out. You know, otherwise it'd be a boring office environment.
Oh my God.
No, I have this exact same
Look,
thing
it's
in
brutal.
The office.
It's fucked up. I think they're lovely people. I'm friends
You're
with some.
They're lovely.
But also, lots of them mean nothing to my life, Lydia. I don't care.
I'm going to send this to all of them. It's great. For you.
They can probably fucking hear this as well. I'm recording it in the office.
You're just recording your desk I'm going to leave
this recording. Just do a million like staring wall floors. What's this man doing?
You know what I hate though? When we had snackies in the office, and I think they're the reason snackies are gone.
Oh
is because
my God,
they would
yeah.
eat all the snackies like ravenous dogs. They would like, you'd be like, oh my God, amazing. There's like popcorn and Daff is putting popcorn in. And then the next day I come in, it's empty. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yuck's class used to be a wonderland. It used to be Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. You'd come in and there'd be different types of crisps and chocolate bars and breakfast bars and amazing, as far as I could see. Now, not a crumb in sight.
We do get drinkies, so I'm not going to complain too hard. Because
I do like
drinkies.
No, we can never lose the drinks. I would leave the company.
Me too. I'd be out.
That's my line.
I love the drinkies.
It's fine. Yeah. Richard Lewis know that's my line. They'd never cross it.
They'd never dare touch the drinkies. We used to have two fridges filled with drinkies.
Yeah, we are down to one fridge, but it's very actively stocked.
So
one full fridge than two fridges that are sad.
Yeah. No, it's
exactly.
A beautiful fridge.
Which we value highly and is
we
a
value
massive,
it.
And if anyone were to take it, we would be very angry.
We would
be very angry. This podcast would never hit the end of it.
We'd turn into a complaint podcast. Yeah. We do get snacky days every now and then though, which is pretty sick. But also like you go to get, it's like, oh, pizza day at the office, and you're like, somehow you're in the office that day, amazing. And then like a million people from 4-4 just
locusts
descend,
destroy
the NPCs,
destroy all the pizzas.
And I'm just looking for quest lines, and I'm like, where are the quests?
Oh my God, this question has just turned into slagging off 4th floor now.
No, we love you,
4th floor.
We love you.
There's a lot of great people at 4th floor. So
no, they're awesome. People. Yeah,
we're big fans. It's just big funny fan. Having a little kind of, you know, it's a brotherly sisterly relationship, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
That's just how it is. They live in our office and, you know, we hate them. That's how it is.
Just like brothers and sisters.
It's just like brothers and sisters.
Oh, circling back, I had one more question about this opening the door thing, right? Okay, taking this away from the work environment and just taking this to a general, you're opening a door and there's someone behind you. How far back is the person, do they have to be, before you stop opening it for them? Because I have that thing where I'll look behind me and there'll be someone who's like, I don't know, 15 paces behind or whatever. And I'm like, oh shit, I've made eye contact. And now I've got to stand here. And then they're like, oh fuck, they're opening the door for me, but I'm kind of far away. So they're doing that awkward like run, walk thing. Uh-huh. And I'm standing there like, oh, this is taking forever. I should have just let it close. And they're awkward and I'm awkward. And I fucking hate that situation so much.
So I'm a big, I'll go up to like maybe like 20 meters, Lids. I'll go pretty
Holy
far.
Shit, that's
because,
far.
Yeah.
Because I love making people do that awkward little
that
jog.
That awkward run walk.
Like because if they don't do the awkward run walk, I'm just going to fucking close the door and go in.
What if they just absolutely just carried on walking at a slow pace and looked you dead in the eye?
Because that's what I do. I'm not doing the awkward run walk. I will just continue walking at my pace. If you make that decision to be so kind as to keep the door open for me, that's a kindness on you, not on me. I'm not doing a run walk to, you know, speed up your day. But I do want to make people do the run walk. It feels like you get one over on people when they do it. You're
right. Like, hey, hey, hey. So it's like a mind game thing. I got them. You. You got them to do the run walk.
I got them to do the run walk. It's so silly when they do.
Oh my God.
I hold the door open for ages. Like, I'll just hold it.
Rams is just like, Rams is always late to the podcast. He's just downstairs holding
holding the door open for someone that's like six miles away.
In another life, I was a doorman. Like, just legit. Because, if I see someone, like, someone could be like over in Queen Square and I see them coming, I will wait.
Just shouting out, sorry, mate, are you going to come in? Sorry.
If I see them coming and I know them, I'll hold the door fucking for ages.
You would actually make a great doorman. I'm imagining it now, wearing the little outfit. Like bellhop suit thing. Yeah, like good evening, m'lady. It's like 1940.
I'd like to be one of those like Undertaker type ones, you know, with a big long tailcoat and stuff.
At like a fancy hotel in London or something
There's something nice about holding the door open for people. I like it.
Oh my God. Well, if all this all goes to shit,
welcome
then you've
to the
got
establishment.
Welcome to the Young Guys offices.
I stand up and I do a poo pirouette before I wipe. Yes.
That is why I wear the tailcoat, you see.
It's easier lifting and spreading of the cheeks.
Oh, God.
And welcome to my pooey asshole.
Welcome to my pooey emporium.
Well, there you go, Raz. You've always got a backup career when this inevitably goes to shit.
Hell yeah. Yeah, it's beg Rich to let me be the doorman.
Have we answered this question?
I guess we have.
I think we have. Yeah,
I think
what if
we just sent
him into the building.
Swiftly on.
I mean, honestly,
if they walk with purpose, then let him in. Essentially, is what we said.
Yeah.
Is it your fault? Like, really?
Okay. What if you let a thief in? Let's entertain that. So,
oh my God, that would be awful.
You've let someone awkward run, Harry. They've come in. They're a thief. All right.
Because you know what happened?
Is that your fault?
They'd get you all to sit around. Because remember when we had that person smash the thing in? We all watched the CCTV. They'd get us all into a meeting, and it would be fucking me opening the door, being like, "Come on in," and it'd be like, "Wait," and it'd have the red circle around my face, and it would be all my fault.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be like Daily Mail, you know.
Daily Mail
Squid
is dumbass.
Game.
Let a thief in. Like, what if that happens?
Yeah, is that's pretty bad. No, yeah. That's not your fault.
It's your fault, though. There's like an assumed social...
Etiquette.
What's the word I'm looking for? Etiquette, yeah, that's like, you know, like you see someone doing a little awkward run, you're like, all right, I'll hold the door open for them. Or like you see them coming, they're walking with intent, you're like, all right, they must be coming into this building. They must like work at another thing here. Like, but if they turn out to be a thief, I don't think it's your fault.
I feel like it's one of those classic things, right? Just because there's that one in a million chance that someone's going to be a bad person, we don't just like now all be cunts to each other.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like I'd rather just live in the world where one in a million times we get robbed rather than everyone just like purposely shut the door after every time I go in the door, no one's ever following me for like, it's mental.
God. If you let a murderer in, though, that would feel so bad.
Fuck, yeah, that's true. I take that all back.
Yeah.
Imagine
yeah,
you like, were the person that let a psycho murderer in and went and absolutely... Yeah.
I mean, is our door stopping a psycho murder? Is a psycho murder really... They're like, oh, the door...
I was going to go to the office and kill everyone,
The door's now closed. Okay,
this key card block has foiled my plans.
Yeah, how are they going to get through?
I feel like they're just
because they're a psycho murderer doesn't mean they know how to fucking pick locks. Like,
well,
how are they going to get
your
through?
Window. What?
What window? Yeah. We're on the fourth bloody floor.
What do you mean? Wait, which door are we talking about?
I'm talking about
downstairs
and then upstairs.
Okay. Well, you can't smash a window to get in there.
Well, you can smash a window to get in downstairs.
Okay, well, what about upstairs?
You kick the door down.
They'd have to kick the door down.
Oh, I reckon that'd be hard.
That's a beefy
fucking door.
I ain't got the legs for that. You know my knee would crumble.
Do you know what? I literally was talking to Ben about this.
Yeah.
I can't remember where it was, but Ben, maybe it was like one of his relatives' houses or something. He'd lost his key a couple weekends ago, and he was like, fuck it. It was like, you know, 1 a.m, and he's just like, fuck it. And he just kicked the door down. And he said it was surprisingly easy.
Wait, Ben really kicked his door down?
I don't think it was his door. I think it was like a relative's door that he was staying at.
Oh, right. Holy shit.
But Ben kicked the door down?
Just,
what the fuck?
Just think about that.
Ben?
Chad?
Yeah. What?
Yeah. I feel like it's easier than... I mean, that's not saying Ben is weak, but I feel like he was like...
We all just went, Ben?
I think it took him like three or four kicks and it was done. the lock's
maybe
there.
Ben's got like a sleeper belt. Maybe he takes off his little like shirt or his little overcoat and like he's just got like a ripped Grecian god's body.
Yeah, okay.
And he's just chatted.
He's absolutely chatted to fuck.
But I don't know. I feel like kicking down a door, it's changed my mind. I feel like I used to think it was an impossible task and now it might just be completely feasible.
Our office door's like a big beefy
door. But that's
window,
a big beefy
like,
door.
It also like bolt locks, doesn't it?
Yeah, so it's not pretty. It's not like a house door. It's like a much more sexy
I reckon
door.
After hearing that, mate, I just think I could kick any door down.
I don't know if you could, Harry. I think we're going to have to put it to the test.
0 degrees live, Harry versus doors.
Just see if you can knock it in. Yeah, all right.
That'd
deal.
Be great. Well, if anyone wants to send us a door, you can send me a door and we'll set it up in the office and I'll kick it down.
We do a little challenge video, door kicking.
Door kicking.
I feel like this is going to be really bad. Like me and Lydia will both kick the door, both of our knees will crumble to dust.
It's good, yeah. The podcast with the hosts renowned for their strong legs. We've got Twig Boy and then just the two fucked knee people. That's good.
Yeah, my left knee is bad.
It's great. No, this is the perfect challenge actually for us. It's the perfect physical challenge.
Yeah, I kind of want to know now. I kind of want to try, obviously with my good leg, try bashing a door in.
He's going to go finish the podcast. Yeah, downstairs and just kick down her door.
To do a good kick with your good leg though, you have to like put all your weight onto your bad leg.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
You like push forward with your
but I reckon you could probably just shoulder barge the door in. Doesn't have to be kicking.
Probably.
Right?
Do you think so? I don't think I'm strong enough. I'm very weak.
No, you're
maybe
not.
There's a place you can go try this.
Yeah, is there like you can go to those
I guess
rage
being
rooms?
Q, like, yeah. It's not really, it's not, I don't know if it's ethical. I don't know if it's ethical.
Just go B&Q, like, oh, I'd love to see like some dollies.
Yeah, guys, I help you. Sorry, mate, can you hold this door up while I just try and, yeah, and then stop.
Shoulder bashing into it. Oh my
mate,
God.
What the fuck are you doing? You can't shoulder bash the door. Couple more tries.
Oh, that's how we get banned for life. Okay, sweet. Yeah. 0 degrees trip to B&Q. Let's do it.
I love it. I'm still holding you guys to this archery thing. I want to do the 0 degrees archery trip.
I want to do a rage room with you guys.
A rage room would be sick as well.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe we get some more patrons. If people support the Patreon, maybe we put some of that money aside and go do some silly things.
Oh, little patron-funded silliness.
Speaking of patrons, that's a nice little segue. Don't you agree? So going not from today but going forward from next week, we're going to be recording special Patreon snippets which will be extra questions. We'll be doing Am I the Arseholes. We'll just be chatting about the episodes from next week on. We'll be recording those and it will be a weekly segment you'll get as a Patreon subscriber.
We feel a little guilty. We've been doing Patreon for a while, but like we aren't really delivering much, so we, you know, except from like exclusive questions right now, so we'd like to give you a little extra back.
So from now we love you guys, so from next week we're going to start recording them and you'll be getting your own special little episode. So do make sure to send in questions that you might want to get answered on them, or am I the arsehole situations or anything like that. Feel free to send in to us.
I kind of want to go on some of the Reddit Am I the Arsehole ones.
We will. Yeah. We'll do some of those as well.
And you know, like Harry just said as well, you know, if we get some more funding, maybe we could do wacky fun little trips and stuff.
Buy me a door.
Buy Harry a door.
Buy me a door. Barry's door fund.
Barry's door fund.
Brilliant. Should we call it there for this week then?
Let's call it a day.
Call it a day.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Two questions done. That's a good...
We chatted about your poo for 15 minutes. I mean,
we did chat about my poo for a bit.
Every fucking time. We didn't talk about pegging though, so that's, you know.
Yeah, that's good. It was good.
Let's end the episode right now before that happens. Thank you all for listening. Thank you to our wonderful patrons. Thank you all the reviews and the comments and stuff. We've been reading them. Very lovely. Lovely interactions. Love to hear from the fans. I guess we'll catch you all next week then. See you later.
See you next week.
Tell your mum to listen. Bye.
See ya. Bye.